Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good.
I'm here in Boston. I've been working on some stories about Mr. Lucher.
Yeah, what's your name again?
My name is Cece Connolly, and I work for Associated Press.
Right.
And I'm working on another story about him and the whole revisionist movement.
Mm-hmm.
And he suggested that I might want to give you a call for the article.
Right.
Maybe talk a little bit about it. Are you yourself a revisionist, or how do I fit you into the picture here? You are?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. What can you tell me just a little bit? You know, I've sort of heard things from your opponents, but I'd like to hear a little bit from you what exactly revisionism is.
Revisionism is actually a tradition that has been around ever since civilized men have been around and with civilized women.
Okay.
For instance, in Jewish history, they have a fellow called Jabotinsky, who was one of the founders of Israel. And he was known at that time as a great revisionist scholar.
Uh-huh.
And so there have been biblical revisionists, there are scientific revisionists, those who once proclaimed the earth to be flat had to revise their theory because Columbus was the arch revisionist. Galileo was a revisionist. And so revisionists are people who go against what is common wisdom or common knowledge and bring it in accordance with new facts.
Okay.
You see? So it has become a smear war temporarily for people who want to revise the popularly accepted picture of World War II.
Okay.
But it's a perfectly legitimate form of revising one's opinions. Take my own case, and most likely your case as well. When we were growing up, we believed in Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And at other times, we believed in the stork. And then in the tooth fairy, you know. And as we got a little older, we revised our view about Santa Claus, the tooth fairy, and so on, you know.
Sure.
Now, we're not going to go and tear down somebody's Christmas tree, right?
Or Kevin.
Do you know what I mean? So that's basically what revisionism is.
Yeah. Now, can you tell me how it applies to World War II?
Well,
Holocaust.
Yeah. Well, you see, now I have to tell you that I'm under a judicially imposed gag order because I lost a court case in Canada.
Okay.
It's a judge-imposed gag order. So I cannot discuss the Holocaust. The details of the Holocaust, but I can certainly discuss with you World War II in a more general sense, and it's really quite simple.
Uh-huh.
There were a number of sides to the Second World War, just like there is a number of sides to the Middle East crisis that we are going through right now.
Uh-huh.
There's the Iraqi side, crudely put, and then there's the American or Western side.
Uh-huh.
Now, in World War II, there was, on the one side, the German or the Axis side, and on the other side, there was the Allied side.
Okay.
Now, the Germans had one viewpoint, and since I was born a German and raised amongst Germans of that generation, my father was one of them, my uncles, my mother, and so on, naturally, it stands to reason that my snail house of history is my German look at history.
Mm-hmm.
And people who live in the United States, they naturally would get the American snail house on their back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You see? So it's again, nothing sinister about it. It's also natural that a German person, knowing living witnesses who experienced the Second World War on the German side, would look at that war very differently from Americans who experienced it on the American side.
Uh-huh.
And since I have bridged both of these solitudes by living 32 years amongst North Americans,
uh-huh.
I can certainly see, because I was educated here in university and you know, in the evening schools and so on, I can see the American viewpoint. So, I came by my revisionism by coming to America.
Okay.
You see? So, I believed in the Holocaust, I believed in German guilt, I believed that America was wonderful, could do no wrong. And in the meantime, I have found out that Americans are people, and Germans are people. That there were some nasty Germans, and there were some very nasty Americans.
Uh-huh.
And we have now a revisionist book in Canada that says that General Eisenhower, of I Like Ike fame, was responsible for the deliberate murder by starvation of between 1 and 2 million German soldiers. After the war, not during the war.
Okay.
You see, so now we have to revise our viewpoint of Ike as this wonderful, fair, just warrior for freedom, truth, and justice.
Okay.
And look at it another time, and here is a Canadian author, not a German author, a Canadian author of my generation in his 50s. He looked at the archives that are now becoming open, and he says, holy smokes, we have to revise our picture of Eisenhower.
Okay. Now, was Mr. Lutcher's report used in your court case?
It was tabled in the court, and the judge in a voir dire, I don't know if you know this term, it's like a pretrial, before it was given to the jury, decided that it was not to be given to the jury, but it was held in abeyance for the appeal court judges.
Okay.
So it was introduced. We couldn't refer to it, but Fred Leuchter was an expert witness on execution technology. And so he gave lengthy testimony with drawings and so on.
Okay.
And I found Fred Leuchter because the warden of the Missouri State Penitentiary recommended him to me.
Okay.
You see, I was on trial for not believing in the Holocaust, really, for having published a small booklet. Yeah. And in Canada, we don't have your constitution with the First Amendment protection. So I was accused of having published false news. Because I didn't believe in the Holocaust. And so I wrote to all the American prisons that had gas chambers. And so I got 3 replies back and asked the wardens if they would want to come and testify as expert witnesses.
Now, did your booklet focus on specific camps at all?
It discussed the camps in details, the method of killings in details, and so on. And I had gone through 2 trials for the same booklet, by the way, which I did not write. I didn't write the booklet. I just reprinted it. That's the perverse thing, you know. I've gone to jail for, and am going to go again, maybe, for something that somebody else wrote. But so this author, this British author, based on publicly available sources, and during my first trial, the Crown prosecutor said 90% were quoted correctly. So, in other words, there were some errors which I found out after I was charged, not before, because before I did what most people do when they read a book. You don't go and check out 3,000 sources that are quoted in the book. You read something and you say, oh, that rings true. That's, you know, reflects what I think I know about this issue. And so I found that this British author had made a couple of slipshod errors. For instance, he referred to a Red Cross document having 1,600 pages, when in effect the one that I had seen had 300 and some pages, and so on.
Mr. Lutcher, he went to 3 specific camps. Those were the ones in question in your trial?
Amongst others, yeah.
Amongst others.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. And his findings really supported your case.
Well, they threw doubt on what the standard notion, you see. Because for the first time, and I think that's an important point, what Fred Leuchter did, and that is his achievement. Whether he has a license or has not a license, it is really a moot point. Because Christ had no license in Christianity, Marx had no license in Marxism, and Adolf Hitler had no license in National Socialism. So you can be an expert at something even if you don't have a license. You know, this hang-up that we have in the Western world that only people who are licensed can think is really stupid, because some of the most wonderful inventions in the world were created by people who didn't have a license.
What were you going to say was Fred Leuchter's accomplishment?
Yeah, his accomplishment is that he went as a man who had constructed, repaired, updated American execution facilities, to these what are really facilities for executing people allegedly by the thousands. And he came back, and based on his experience in America with American equipment, he came to the conclusion that it is impossible that the figures claimed for people there could have taken place. And so that's really what Leuchter is all about. I understand there is this controversy raging.
Is he a revisionist?
He certainly was not when I first met him. He believed in the Holocaust, lock, stock, and barrel. And I was, and my attorney, we were shocked when we heard that. And there was a brief moment when we considered not sending him, but then I said, no, if he's an expert on the technology, then I want to know for my own self what happened.
His findings certainly support revisionist theories.
But
right?
You see, we didn't know that. You see, because nobody, not the German government, not the Polish government, nor Jewish organization, had ever done what Leuchter did. That's his achievement.
Yeah.
He took samples.
But it is true now, though, that his findings are certainly being used
Support. Of course. It's like Columbus. Columbus was apparently a carpenter, you know, and he certainly was no seaman. And so, but he knew that the earth was round because he had been out in some fishing boats, you know, and could look across the horizon and say, oh, that's curved, wow.
Yeah.
And so he found some influential friends who got to the king of Spain and said, can I get the money? They got the money. Leuchter got the money from my defense team, right?
Uh-huh.
And so Leuchter, the execution technologist, goes over there and he finds, holy smokes.
Yeah.
You know, the history is not what it was cracked up to be. So he's like Columbus has revised the history of the flat earth, and there were many people very upset because every university was teaching the earth was flat. The Pope said the earth was flat. All the kings and writers at the time said the earth was flat, just like people claim today what happened in Auschwitz was in a certain way.
Do you believe that 6 million Jews were killed in these concentration camps?
Well, my problem is my gag order. All I can say to you is, I did publish a booklet called Did 6 Million Really Die? Question mark. That's really, I cannot, you see, if you were spying for the B'nai B'rith or something, I could talk myself into a jail term in Canada for 2 years.
No,
so I can only answer it to you, not because I wouldn't love to give you a chapter and verse, detailed, nitty-gritty explanation. I can only say I, as a mature man with a business with many Jewish clients, published a booklet that said, Did 6 million really die?
Okay. Now, do you know how I can get in touch with the, is it the IHR?
Yeah, sure. If you hang on for a minute, I'll give you their number. Give me 1 minute.
Do you have any guesstimate on how many revisionists there are out there?
Well, there was a sampling taken, like a Gallup poll in Canada, and after my trial, and they came to the conclusion, startling conclusion, that almost half of the Canadians did not believe that the facts about the Second World War were the way we are told that they are. So, you know, am I saying all these people are revisionists? I said, no. I said, these are people with an open mind that realize that in a war, lots of lies get told and that it takes a while before the lies are removed. So I'll give you the number here.
Okay.
It's area code 714
631
1490.
Okay. Are they normally there during the daytime?
California time, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And let me just check. Your first name is spelled
E-R-N-S-T.
And it's Z-U-L-N-D.
No, C-U-N-D-E-L.
D-E-L, sorry.
That's right.
Okay, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Okay,
bye-bye.